dreaming of you. And when you'll come home, we're so young. When do we get so restless? How could we neglect this love? When did it get this hard? We knew it from the start. The picture frame was broken, but I'll just lay here hoping that you'll be waiting with your heart aching.
On Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, land expropriation without compensation remains one of the most contentious debates in our country, and it has sparked international concern now, including overnight from US President Donald Trump, who said it is a powerful human rights violation, his words, and going on to say that South Africa will be punished. Is this alarm justified? Is land reform a necessary correction to historical injustices? Or, as the American government is now threatening or suggesting, a threat to economic stability? I'm joined now by T.K. Puer, who's a public policy specialist at the Wits School of Governance. T.K., a very warm welcome to you. This broadside overnight, has it taken us by surprise?
Yes, it has, but I think it should not have taken us by surprise if you look at what happened in 2018, and here I'm referring to organizations such as AfriForum going to the US, I think under Trump's presidency, and sort of putting this table, this issue on the table. And also some of the murmurs you hear from Senate by some Republicans. So I think the manner, obviously, in which Trump has done it was always a bit of a shock, as you can read by how the RAND reacted. But I don't think we should be surprised that he kind of did kind of throw this broadside at the South African government and state.
So where does this leave the South African government now and the kind of response that we are likely to see from Pretoria?
Well, hopefully it'll be a calm response, because what we also have to remember, now I always try and make the point that when you try to read President Trump, is you can't fight the way he does, or else you literally, let's not forget, America is still the largest economy in the world. So what you'd hope from Pretoria would for them to sound out to the president, say, where exactly are you picking this up from and what do you mean by it? Because one of the key tenets of America First would be that you don't actually interfere in the sovereignty of other countries. So I think Pretoria should not really make this a large issue, because that's what he tends to do. And then I think it really doesn't really help our economy much. The key issue should be sound out through diplomatic means. Where did he pick this stuff from? And what book is he reading from? And if there is a point of view, you can correct him in private, do so. But to make it bigger than to make it a news issue really is not going to help, because you have to remember there is Canada, there's Mexico, there's the European Union. So South Africa's response really might even get lost in the deluge of many states that have got problems with President Donald Trump's first 100 days in office.
TK, this is what the South African government is saying so far, and I quote in part, South Africa is a constitutional democracy that's deeply rooted in the rule of justice, law and equality. The South African government, the statement goes on to say, has not confiscated any land. The president saying that US funding to South Africa is limited to the US president's emergency plan for AIDS relief. We know it better as PEPFAR, which accounts, he says, for 17% of the country's HIV/AIDS program. So certainly at this point, attempts to downplay the issue.
I probably would have tweaked that, because I think that reads more for us as citizens to say, listen, our sovereignty is not, we're not going to take our sovereignty for granted. I think a better response would have been, you note what he's saying and that you keep it short and sweet. You will make means to find out what he's trying to do, understanding that South Africa is a sovereign state. Because I think the reaction kind of reads as you justifying it to your population, where in truth you should be finding out who is actually in the ear of Donald Trump as it regards to how he views South Africa. I think, for one, I think organizations such as AfriForum have sort of put us in this issue. So I think a better way would have been a shorter statement to say, listen, we're going to sound you out diplomatically to find out how this happens. But it is to be expected. Sometimes I think Pretoria does answer in this manner, but I think it could have been a bit more tactful.
We know the land expropriation bill was signed into law in January, and critics are arguing that tampering with property rights in any way could spook investors and damage economic confidence. So I guess the question is, can we really say that South Africa's economy right now is thriving under the current system, or could some type of reform actually unlock new economic opportunity?
Well, I think on the issue of land, look, I think it's been a long-standing issue which we have needed to sort out. I think if anything, what this Trump situation does kind of show us is that we should have dealt with this issue a long time ago. Now, how you go about doing it, obviously some might say it's an ideological issue, but I think there's different ways in which you could have done it. Some certain people argue that, listen, the issue of expropriation was always in the Constitution. You didn't really need to have an act such as this. So I, for one, would probably say, listen, it's if the positive that can come out from this is to actually say, listen, what do we actually mean by land expropriation? How do we really get it to the fore? And understanding the overarching issue of South Africa's historical issue with land, how do we put that first and foremost and ensure that it does? Look, in parts, if you don't explain this carefully, it is going to sound as though South Africa is doing a Zimbabwe 2.0, which is not the case. But I do think it's an issue of saying communicate this better. And also, let's actually have an honest conversation about land in South Africa such that we can, I don't think we can ever fully move on from it, but such that we can actually say, listen, all economic development and tenants does rest on land. How do we do it in such a way that, one, we don't spook off investors, and two, we do address these historical imbalances which have been there. And I think this is where the government of the African National Congress over the three decades has failed at that.
Donald Trump is framing this as a potential human rights violation, but I'm wondering if this is a sincere concern or more about protecting American and Western business interests, given that South Africa is a member of BRICS and there's been a lot of talk, for instance, of a rival or a common currency.
I like the framing of the question, Jeremy. I think it's what we should look at it as a preemptive strike. He's already stated that he does, I think he finds BRICS to be quite the nuisance. So for me, I also just view it as a point of a preemptive strike to almost remind South Africa that, listen, out of those BRIC countries, you're probably the smallest in this, and this is how I'm going to probably start taking BRICS apart. That's why I said the response needed to be measured and also understand it in the broader context. And most importantly, this is where I think South Africa over the last three decades has failed. What is our grand strategy's response to this? As I said, you should not be shocked. This was always going to happen under President Trump. The key issue we should be asking is, say, what is the South Africa's response to Donald Trump? I would have thought, and I've always made the argument, whether it's PEPFA or whether it's even a AGOA, South Africa should have been saying, listen, how do we get out of these things as quick as possible? And by getting out means you find replacements elsewhere in the world, and you actually grow your economy to the point where when a state like America does make these threats, and remember, we're not alone in this issue, we can simply, you know, with confidence, because we run our government well, say, listen, we hear you. But if you want to have a conversation with us in a normal way. But you don't just do this off the media. Unfortunately, because of the state of our economy, because of how America is at the moment, we are forced to have to almost have this conversation at the back foot, but also understanding the broader context that he's not happy with BRICS. And what we need is a proper, I'd say, grand strategy response to this, not simply to view this as an isolated incident. Many more things are going to come.
The Rand today trading in a range 1884 to 1904, so down by over 1.3%. TK Poor, thank you very much indeed. Public policy specialist at the Wits School of Governance here in Johannesburg.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.